Christmas joy thing before we go over there?
Probably not.
Okay. All right.
And we won't go through the other kids' stuff either.
Okay.
We'll just go for it.
All right.
We'll have a good time. Do you have a problem spot?
No. I was just, I don't know why I thought it was that he is born. Not what I worked on.
Oh, I'm
even
sorry.
That's all right.
Well, you know why it was. It's because he is born.
That's a TV,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And so what I wanted was SAB because we didn't have as many guys going.
It didn't hurt me to work on that.
I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry.
All right. I
didn't realize I had sent that to you. Did I send that to you?
No, I don't know that you
okay.
did. I'm in the fog.
Yeah, well, okay. So we'll just do the best we can.
I'm still getting floors worked out in my house, and this is absolutely a mess. Yeah, about to finish, though. Last one I had, the cough went on and on.
So, other place where we're singing, they don't have a piano in the room that we're singing. Their piano is in a different room, but we couldn't fit everybody in there. It's a small room. So all they had in the corner was a little kind of electronic organ kind of thing that looks a little dusty and maybe he's not doing this for. So we very well may possibly just sing a cappella. I'll talk to everybody about
all right, sounds good.
All of that.
We'll get our final direction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, people are just going with it.
Good morning, Mountain View. I'm glad you came today. I'm Pastor Steve. On behalf of Pastor Sarah and myself, we welcome you to worship today, this season of Advent. I want to know if anybody's here for the very first time. We met Cheryl and David. This is your third time, but have you ever got popcorn before?
Never.
Well, thanks for popping in. I'm so glad to see you. We have anybody else who's here for the very first time, we have this gift for you, a small bag of popcorn to thank you for popping in. Can you catch? 3, 6, what? Oh, he's in the Rockies now. Tell me who your name, who you are. What's your name?
My name's Marcus. This is my wife, Victoria.
Marcus and...
just moved here 3 weeks ago from Texas.
Moved here from Texas. Welcome, y'all. Yes, and Rose, we welcome you, Rose. She got her bag of popcorn earlier. She's attending two worship services today. We also have new members coming to join Mountain View, and you'll get to meet them in a little bit. And we just celebrate together the love of God in this place. Announcements? Very good. And announcements, yes, Carolyn's going to do that first.
Okay.
Come on, guys. Just everybody come up to the front one at a time. You can use the microphone. That's all good.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carolyn.
Thank you. Well, as you know, this is a busy time of year and there's lots going on. So let me just highlight a few things. For those who are going caroling this afternoon, remember that it's right after this church service and you'll be going to Fraser Meadows and also to the Boulder Manor. Then on Thursday, there's the Blue Christmas Dinner and Service. So if there's people who are having a difficult time with Christmas, this might be something you'd like to attend. And next Sunday will be Mountain View Sings, and all the kids are invited to participate in the annual pageant, and so that sounds like lots of fun to me. It'll be at both 9:03 and 10:30, and then coming up on December 23rd and also December 30th, there will only be one service, and it will be at 10:30.
Very good. Let them hear the bass, Theodore. Doom, 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 doom. Alvin's and the Chipmunks. There we go. All right.
Good morning. My name's Bill Good, and I represent the SPRC committee this morning. That is our Staff Parish Relations Committee. So we're in charge of keeping track of the staff and supporting them in their work. So today is Staff Appreciation Sunday, so I wanted to speak just a moment about that. So there are many pieces that make up our successful church, the beautiful building decorated for the holidays here, the loving, open, and vital community that is all of you, and the group we recognize today are creative and supportive staff. From their hard work with administration to keeping track of our finances, from teaching and caring for our children, and creating beautiful music here in the service and other services, to the hopeful and inspirational messages about our loving God from the pulpit, we are truly blessed. Please join me this morning in saying thanks to the staff with a note after the service and a word of thanks when you see them. Mountain View staff, thank you for all you do.
All right. We appreciate so much this community of faith and all that it means to us, not just employment, but meaningful relationships and friendships that extend well and beyond the walls of this sanctuary out into the world. It makes a difference. It changes lives. Would you stand and greet one another in the spirit and love of Christ and tell one another things that help you pray? What things help you pray?
Thank you.
You will find devotion books to use along with the lighting of Advent candles in the pews. As you reflect on the reading, feel free to add your thoughts, drawings, or doodles to the blank pages provided. You may leave the devotion books in the pews or take them home to review as desired. The books will be available throughout Advent.
The theme of our Advent Sundays this year is Faithful People of the Nativity. As we light our two Advent candles, we recognize the role of shepherds in the Nativity. According to Luke, shepherds were first to hear the story of Jesus' birth. Though they were startled and afraid, this news was so exciting that they left their flocks to rise up and follow the star into Bethlehem. Then they went to tell others the good news. Shepherds, therefore, were the first evangelists. Being a shepherd is hard work. Caring for the sheep out in the pastures is a dirty, isolated job far away from town. Often shepherds were of low birth, beggars, and people with no roots, but even such as these knew enough to rise up and get to where Jesus was, and they were entrusted as the first to share the good news. Following the star, the shepherds found Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, just as they had been told.
Luke 2, verses 8 through 10. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people."
Lord God, help us to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, however it comes to our ears, whether told us by an angel clothed in light or spoken by a shepherd wrapped in rags. Help us to recognize our opportunities to honor you. In our homes and our hearts, we revere you this season. With our gifts, preparation, and lives, we honor your son at his birth. Christmas is a season of wonder and discovery. Help us to learn that we too may be called to rise up and follow and pass on the story of Jesus Christ.
won't you be seated, and won't the children come forward for their special time? Children?
Hey guys, how's it going? Yeah, we had a good week? Good deal. Look, I printed off this picture from a book. It's by Dr. Seuss, and it's called Oh, the Places You Will Go. Do you guys know that book? So in this book, he talks about this place. This is called The Waiting Place. And it says, waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow. Or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. Do you guys see the picture? Do you see them all waiting? In various ways. We've got people standing in line. We've got people, you got this guy over here. He's waiting for some snow so we can ski. We've got people in their cars. He's waiting for a fish. So much waiting in that picture, huh? What do you guys think about waiting? Do you guys like to wait? No? You don't like to wait too much? Do you know, I read that if we get to be 70 years old, we will have spent 3 years of our life waiting. Waiting in line. Waiting for recess while you're at school, waiting for dinner when you're really hungry, right? All of those things, we just have to wait. And you guys are right, waiting is not always the most fun thing to do, is it? But sometimes you just have to wait, right? So right now, today is our second week of Advent, and Advent means to come. So what is coming? What's coming? What are we waiting for? We're waiting for the birth of Jesus. We are waiting for Christmas. That's right. And Christmas is super exciting, right? And it's really hard to wait, especially, you know what? I got a package in the mail yesterday. My sister had sent me all of our presents. And now all the presents are under the tree. And as you start getting more and more presents, it's even harder and harder to wait to open those, isn't it? It was hard for me yesterday. I had to put them under the tree, and I got to wait. I have to wait. So waiting's not always easy, but we are waiting right now, and we are waiting to celebrate Jesus' birth, right? So while we're sitting here waiting, while we're in this waiting place before Christmas, we can think about Jesus, right? We can think about Jesus and his love. We can think about all the people in the story of Christmas. We can think about Mary and Joseph and all those shepherds and all those angels, right? We can look around and see all the awesome Christmas decorations. Do you guys all have a tree at your house yet? Yeah, you can sit and look at your tree. You can enjoy the magic that kind of brings, right, when your tree's up. You can look at lights around town. You can listen to Christmas music. So many things to do while we wait to keep ourselves just anticipating that excitement that comes with Christmas, right? So many ways we can bring joy to our waiting place. Not always fun, but we can do it, right? Okay. Can we say a prayer, you guys? Say, hey, God. Help us find joy in our waiting place. Help us to remember Jesus and all that happened on that very first Christmas. Keep us excited and keep our hearts full of love. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. Amen.
What are you waiting for? What are you excited about? What are you praying for today? Tell us. What have you been praying about? Yes?
Going skiing.
Going skiing. Wow, it's all downhill from here. What have you been praying for? Who have you been praying for? Pam is here from England. And we welcome you. Glad here for a family visit. They're so excited that you're coming, that you've come, that you're already here. Brilliant. Who else? Was mentioned earlier at the service earlier, the services for our former president, George H.W. Bush, were appreciated for reminding us of a gentle leader, and that was appreciated. Who else?
Steve.
Yes. Yes. Desiree continues to heal from surgery, and we're glad that you're with us this morning. Been praying for you, kid. Really have. Others? Yes, John. Prayers for a friend, a college roommate who lived outside of Paradise, California, and is alive and well, and is busy helping coaching some kids who've been through a lot. What's his first name?
Jerry
needs our prayers today. God's servants need prayers. Who else? Yeah.
I was happy to read about the birth of your granddaughter.
I have a new granddaughter. Born on the 28th of November. Her name is Yolanda Maribel, which is our daughter-in-law's grandmother's name. I told our son, this is their third, I said, we're going to name this child Y. I'm going to call her Y. So that baby 3, 4, 5, and 6, they'll be, why not? Yolanda Maribel. It's going to take me a little while to... Grandpa will figure something silly out. Yes. Morgan Thomas has been promoted to a new job in South Denver, and so he's going to move down there. Morgan, I'm so glad to have been a part of us in the choir. But it does leave his chair open. If anybody would like to come and sing with the choir, I know Stephen would welcome you.
Amen.
Amen. Others? We're mindful of Donnie Hagee, who's been in the hospital this week. Phil Youngren, Desiree Williams, Sharon Sang, is looking to surgery. We'll be mindful of her. Wanda and Joe Rivera have health concerns. And Joni Calhoun, I simply put her name in there. She was here last week and doing okay, but she bashed the back of her head on the tub and had stitches. So we're mindful of Joni. Yeah, I heard my name. Yeah, Ginger. Yeah, Stephen. Yeah, just because emergency falls out of the headlines doesn't mean we stop caring about them. Panama City, Florida had a terrible hurricane. That's Desiree's home, and they're having layoffs and difficulties. Prayers for them. Yes, Melody. Prayers for Molly. She's out of the hospital but needs our prayers. Thank you for the update. Sharon. She's asking for prayers for her surgical team who're going to operate on her eyes, and she sees them on Wednesday, so prayers for her. Sorry? They still don't know how to do the surgery. All right. Practice, practice, practice. All right. Bless you. All right. All right, friends, this is our custom. Would you hold hands with people around you? Be connected one with another. Even if you haven't met them yet, go and, Bert, reach out. Reach out, Bert. There you go. Good job. All right. Who can reach her? Who can reach her? All right. All right. We're connected. Let us pray together. Holy God, in this season of year, we come traveling. We come to new places with expectancy and hope in our heart. We come acknowledging our need for you, for meaningful relationships, for community that matters, to be family away from home, to be family to each other in the home. Help us, God, at this season to turn loose of our controlling ways, our insistence on having everything mapped out, that we don't also have room and space for the little surprises that you would bring us. The hope, the promise, the possibilities that Christmas brings. Help us turn down the volume a little bit on the noise in the world. Like we can remember those who are really struggling. That we can think about surgery teams and patients, little ones, newly born, distressed out parents, to remember friends who feel forgotten, to reach out. We, your people in this place, praise you and ask for your help. Touch our hearts and change our lives. Through Jesus Christ we pray, as he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, I'd like to point out this little card, this trifold in your pew rack. There are just a handful of these, but these are meant for you. The times of service are changing for this season. We've got a couple of single services, combined services, and so you know when to come. Pretty much at 10:30, it's easy peasy because our combined services are all at 10:30. But for instance, on the 30th, there's a pancake breakfast. I don't want you to miss out on that. That's at 9:30. You have to get up a little earlier for pancakes, but lots of great things happening. This is also an invitation to your neighbor. If you want to invite them to church, it's all written here for you, and you can welcome them into our midst.
Thank you.
Holy God, for your gifts to us, we say thank you. We acknowledge the ways in which you give life and breath and hope, especially in this season of the year. We are also mindful to pay attention to prepare a place for you and your Son Jesus in our hearts, and through these gifts, change the way the world sees you. Amen. You may be seated. These weeks in Advent, we've been focusing on the spiritual practice of prayer and meditation. And today I'm going to ask you to work on our breath. It's very important to continue to breathe. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's very significant. Please put both feet on the floor. All right. We're going to have you breathe in through your mouth. In through your nose. And out through your mouth. In through your nose. And out through your mouth. One more time. Into your nose. And out through your mouth. And I'm going to give you a word. The word is wholeness, okay? So think on the word breathing in through your nose. And say the word out through your mouth. Wholeness. Into your nose. Into your nose. Now, last week we had you practice silence, and that was okay. You did okay for 60 seconds. If it's 120 seconds, that's a lot more. Practice twice as much. But practice silence and breathing. Keep breathing, okay? Would you do that? That's our spiritual practice for this week. We're going to sing together. What did you call this, Stephen?
It's a chant.
A chant from what time period?
Gregorian.
It's Gregorian, a Gregorian chant. I don't know if you knew that or not. We're going to do a Gregorian chant. If you'll stand with me as we sing together, remember to breathe. It's one of those things you'll find yourself whistling in the garden this week. You may be seated. Carolyn's going to read us the scripture.
Luke
Would you join me? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Okay, I'm going to be reading Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 834. But I'm going to make an apology before I start. I got some tough words, at least they're tough for me. And so I apologize if I don't pronounce them right. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanta, ruler of Abilene, and during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. And the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin, as it is written in the book of the word of the prophet of Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, choir. You know, I'm amazed and so pleased, or choir master selects music that goes right along with our scripture. And I know that's no accident, Stephen, but thank you so much. And thank you, choir. Means a lot to us. Can we pray together? Holy God, humble our hearts and help us to hear the words that you would tell to us through scripture today, that we might, your people, love you more and more each day. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Well, Carolyn mentioned that there are a lot of words in this passage of scripture which are place names. They're a little hard to pronounce. I always take comfort, Carolyn, in realizing that everybody who actually knew how to say these words is already dead. So you don't need to worry about it. I thought she did a pretty good job, didn't you? I think that's wonderful. Thank you. I want us to consider today how Luke goes about telling his story. He first of all talks about a particular people in a specific spot at a definitive time. And it's really remarkable how this writer of this passage of scripture would take such extraordinary care to identify such a precise time in which these things occur. If you studied other religions, you'll realize how unique this is among sacred writings. The Bible does this, but few other religious texts do. No other religion ties its happening so closely to historical facts. Yes, we can argue about where the stars were in the sky and exactly how it lined up with particular seasons. We can talk about all kinds of different periods and how they juxtapose and fall roughly in a particular area. It is not like on December 7th, 1941, a day that lived in. Not like that. But it is sort of a specific area of time with a specific people in mind. No other religion does this. Nails down its foundational elements as Luke does with such zeal and exactitude for an ancient writing. And it all begins with the ministry of John the Baptist, and it all points to salvation of the world. In this second season of Advent, it's appropriate for us to ask, why would Luke do this? Why? Why go to all the trouble of highlighting dates and naming names and identifying the places and the rulers over them? Well, friends, this is not a once upon a time kind of story. Luke doesn't begin with, it was a dark and stormy night, or long ago and far away in a galaxy far, far away. Luke begins with an account of history, which points the way to our salvation. The days leading up to Jesus' birth are all mapped out. In this passage of scripture, we have when, who, where, what. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother, the ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trichonitis, which sounds like a disease to me, and Lysanias was ruler of Abilene, not Texas, not Kansas, Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, what happened? The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. All that's left is to tell what happens next. There's a number of contradictions in our Christmas story. You know it if you know anything about our Christmas traditions. The Christmas tree did not get mentioned in the Bible. The Christmas traditions of the wreath is not mentioned in the Bible. A lot of our traditions don't have anything to do with Christianity at all. We didn't even celebrate as Christians the holiday we call Christmas until about the 4th century AD. We've always celebrated Easter. But Christmas came along when we started bumping up against those northern tribes, the Teutons, the Picts, and those other tribes that had mother goddess worship, and we want to be able to tell them something important about the love of God, and so we began to tell the story. Now, it's in the scripture, certainly, but it's not been celebrated for 4 centuries in the church. On the cover of your bulletin, that's why I pulled this out, on the cover of your bulletin, you'll see a picture of who? The three wise guys, said to be from Persia. But the songs we sing is there's a star in the sky. It's in the east, right? The star is in the... Well, if they're from Persia, where would the star appear? In the west. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. And here we have today John the Baptist caterwauling in the wilderness, screaming at the top of his voice, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And it's sort of his perspective. Why? Why is he shouting? What is he doing? Doesn't he know the baby's sleeping? The baby comes at Christmas. Doesn't John the Baptist know? You know, we had a rule at our house growing up, right? And when we had little babies in the house, never, 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 never wake a sleeping child. But here's John the Baptist making a bunch of noise and smelling up the place. Why be so specific about the time and the place in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius? In fact, the Bible is full of historical references. Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up." Right? Luke says, "When Herod was ruler of Galilee, John began preaching." Jesus mentions contemporary events, absolving of sin the 18 killed under the Tower of Siloam that fell on top of them. Mark looks to the birth event. When Quirinius was governor of Syria, there was a census. And Mary pondered all these things in her heart so that in the fullness of time, she would recognize her son, the Son of God. Time and place are essential to the Christian witness of faith. Our faith is not in some disembodied spirit, and our worship is not some disinterested deity. The Christian witness of Jesus is not some long ago and far away fairy tale. It has to do with us. It has to do with us in the here and now. It has to do with us in our fears and our faith. It has to do with us, our human troubles and our sacred yearnings. And our devotion to Christ is the proof of a living God in our daily lives. The fruit of our faith sustains us through times watching and waiting. But still, there are times we need a little bit of encouragement. What do we wait for? Why do we wait? You know, I love nature. I have a biology degree, and I frequently talk about this in service, mostly because I think about it all the time. I love animals and nature and flowers and the whole process, the birds, yes, and the bees. I love them all. But today I'd like to bring up the example of geese when they fly. The geese pick up a leader at the front, right? They pick a leader at the front, and that goose flies at the front for a long, long time until it gets tired. And then it's replaced by somebody else in the formation. I learned this morning from an astrogeophysicist who joined the church, this her home church now, Alicia. You know why one leg of the V is longer than the other one? You know, the V, the formation, do you know why it's longer? It has more geese in it. I like this girl. She has a great sense of humor. I really do. Right. So the front one breaks the resistance, right, so that the rest of them can fly a little more easily, right? And so they take turns. When the leader gets tired, they're replaced by another one. And the ones in the back, though, what do? Do they just rest? If you will listen to a flock of geese flying in formation, you will hear them honking to each other, encouragement on the way to the top. Keep going. What are they saying to each other? Honk, 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 honk. What are they saying? They're reminding the leader where they need to go. And we need reminders from time to time to wing our formation onward toward the destination that is experienced for us. The geese, even if they're born in the far north, know how to get south for the winter. Isn't that remarkable? They already know how to get there, even if they've never seen it. Our experience of Advent is kind of like that too. We know where we're headed. The homing signal is strong in us too. Christmas is just a few weeks away, but we're not there yet. We worship a God who desires to be known, who is God with us, our Emmanuel, Christ Jesus. But we may need reminders along our way to get there. What's like that in life? Needing reminders to get there. We have a new little grandbaby, Yolanda Mirabel. We won't get to see her until after Christmas because that's the time we could get off. Somehow, I don't think you'd appreciate it if I was gone on Christmas Eve, right? Waiting to see that little grandbaby is harder than I imagined. Waiting for the pain of grief and loss to abate for those who have lost loved ones. Waiting for spring to come. Waiting for a report from the oncologist's office. Who is this God who has pitched his tent among us? Who is this God? That's what our Emmanuel means, God with us. God who pitched his tent among us in our midst. For how we wait matters as much as what we're waiting for. And a little reminder of what we're aiming for makes a world of difference, both to the flock and to ourselves. John has an awfully stark message for preparation, for baptism, for repentance, but it is not a secondary note to the Christmas promise. John is the entry point to the whole glory-filled natal experience, for if we want to get to gentle Bethlehem this Christmas, then we'll have to go by way of fierce John the Baptist. If we earnestly desire the jolly red and white of Yuletide, then we must immerse ourselves in the reverent and repentant purple of Advent and the sacrifice of pride that accompanies us. A writer who I really appreciate and like, Friedrich Buechner, wrote this: if we're to ask any of the writers of the Gospels how to get to Bethlehem, I think we might be surprised at their answer. They'd say, so you want to get to Bethlehem, do you? Tell you what you do. You go out in the desert outside of relative safe confines of Jerusalem, and you keep going until you get to the Jordan River. Can't miss it. It's the only river in these parts. You'll find a man there, strange-looking old coot, standing knee-deep in water, just baptizing folks right and left as fast as he can. That'll be John the Baptist. And you ask him how you get to Bethlehem. If you want to get to Bethlehem, you got to start there with the Jordan and with John. He's the only one who get us there. Unquote. John the Baptist is all about repentance. He's all about coming into our wilderness to pull us out of our hard-hearted security mindset. He's all about pulling us away from our self-involvement and into the promise of Christ. He's rough and ready. He's coarse and smelly. He's just shouting fool. Because that's the only way some people will ever hear God's message above the holiday ruckus. How is God drawing you out of the holiday ruckus and into God's presence? Story of a town that made Salvation Army ringers crazy. They said the Salvation Army ringers couldn't ring their bells next to their kettles. And the woman who was told that outside of a grocery store in this little town was a little surprised. She'd been doing this for years, and all of a sudden they decided there was a complaint, so they have to respond. Have you noticed this about our world? The first person to complain gets all the rights. Everybody else pays cash. I mean, it's just really tough. The dog barks next door, and if you call the police or the animal people first, why, there's somebody at their door knocking. Right? What's wrong with that picture? I continue to struggle with that myself. Anyway, having been complained against, they told her she couldn't ring her bell, but the next day she came up with a solution because she's an inventive person. She's an inventive woman, and she doubled what she got for the kettle, right? She did this by holding up one sign and then another. The sign said, ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. We are God's people. We are inventive. We are creative. We find an obstacle and we work around it because that's what God's people do. With all the noise, with all the shouting, with all of the distractions, it may be that we only hear God's message of repentance and preparation if somebody shouts in our ear, if somebody causes us to do something creative about our waiting. And so John shouts. And he shouts a message from Isaiah, hundreds of years prior. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his path. As Luke records, all the details. Each year in the Advent season, the church sets off on a journey. We begin to prepare our hearts and home for the coming of Christ, so at this time, there'll be a suitable place for him in our hearts and in our homes. Jerusalem's not that far away from Bethlehem. On a modern map, it wouldn't provide any kind of an obstacle at all. You and I could get there in an Uber pretty quick, right? But the problem is, so much has changed since our last visit. That project at work that you thought was going to save the day didn't make the difference. That new grandbaby has stressed out parents. The world seems just as cruel and just as partisan as it did last year, only more so. And the loved ones who miss Thanksgiving have their other plans this Christmas, so you're not going to get to see them then either. A whole year has passed, and that year has brought changes to our lives, some of them good and some of them not so good, some of them joyous and some of them heartbreaking. The spiritual map of life has shifted, and even old familiar places don't seem the same as they did before. So we might just need a little help finding our way back to Bethlehem. Maybe that's John crying in the wilderness. Maybe it's a quiet moment of prayer, breathing in and breathing out, a desire for wholeness. We can still get to Bethlehem if you still want to go. But we're going to have to go by way of John the Baptist. And he's shouting out a warning to all of us. Get ready. Be prepared. Watch with expectancy. Wait with holy purpose. As creatures of faith, friends, the homing signal in us is very strong. And as followers of Christ, let us remember to make room for Jesus in our hearts this Christmas. Amen. Let's sing two verses of In the Bleak Midwinter, 221. Thank you all. Would you be seated for just a moment? I'd like to introduce to you some new members here to Mountain View. Valerie Gilbert is a member, coming to be a member today. And Val, where are you coming from? Where have you been worshiping?
At the Presbyterian Church of the Covenant.
Presbyterian Church of the Covenant.
And that's in Englewood.
In Englewood. We welcome you. And this is Bryn Schlicker.
Yes.
And she's from Pennsylvania, Middletown. And her guy, Matt.
Yes.
Bart.
Yes.
And where have you been worshiping?
York, Pennsylvania, United Methodist.
York, Pennsylvania, United Methodist. And Bryn?
Evangelical United Methodist.
Evangelical in?
Middletown.
In Middletown. Middletown. I said Middleton. Middletown. We welcome you and accept your Christian experience, both baptism and confirmation, as valid and significant for you. And we simply promise, as long as we're members of Mountain View, we ask you to promise that you'll continue to support it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Are you willing to do that?
Yes, sir.
Great. What's your mind to them? Recognize you as members of Christ's holy church and bid you welcome. Welcome, friend. Welcome. I know how much you love to be in front of people. Thank you. Immediately after the service, you go downstairs, I think, and you have some soup and warm you, and then we'll go Christmas caroling across the street and in the neighborhood. Love to have you join us. Please consider welcoming these, our new friends, as you leave today. Would you rise and receive this benediction with both heart and head uplifted? May the love of God follow you, whether it's John the Baptist shouting at you or maybe a Christmas carol sung with joy. Let God's love soak in. Turn loose of the things that have been holding you back. Be strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ. Prepare a place for him in your hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.